Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. She'll be in town this weekend for PopCon Milwaukee, November 4th and 5th at the Crown Plaza Hotel and Convention Center. Lee Merriweather. Good morning, Lee. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Great.
PopCon, you get to go there. You just, like, greet people. They get the, something signed or...
Yeah, pictures.
Yes, photos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And do you, like...
I always enjoy coming, to conventions. I really do.
Do you have a time to talk or address the crowd or tell a story or anything, or do you just meet and greet people?
Well, it's meet and greet individuals. They line up and Burt Ward will be with me, I think, on them. And that's always fun.
Okay, so if you don't get to stand up and answer questions, let's do that for everyone. Did you ever sit in the Batmobile?
Yes, I did.
How was that?
Yes, I did. it was fun. It really was. The only time that I rode in it was when we were up in, where were we? We were in Washington, D.C., I think, or not D.C., but Washington State, at a convention. And the Batmobile was there, and we were there to see the movie. And then Frank Gorshin was there.
And, the Riddler, yeah.
The Riddler, oh, yes. And he said, come on, let's go outside and get in the car. And I said, what?
That's something the villains should have done, steal the Batmobile. Did they ever?
Penguin stole the Batmobile once, and Batman took it over by remote control because the cannons were going off and stuff. Isn't that right, Lee?
Yes, you're right.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But he really did. He had the keys. And I said,
why did it have keys?
That Chuck Barris will kill us.
You know, that thing is within 20 miles of us.
We
right
have
here,
one of the one Batmobiles of here. I was in it like within the last month or so. I sat in it.
Oh, isn't it fun?
Yeah, collector.
It really is fun.
Has one of them.
Yeah.
Okay, did you ever run down the time tunnel yourself?
No, I never got to. I mean, I could stand in the beginnings of the tunnel where they used to disappear.
Right.
Okay.
What was that thing made out of? Was that plastic or wood or what was that?
I think it was wood. I never touched it. Really shouldn't, because it could maybe fall over or something would happen.
I mean, did you ever on the set of anything kind of look behind stuff and see what was made, what it was made of, and go, boy, this looks good on TV, on screen, but it's really cheap garbage.
Oh, yes. Well, I almost got killed by a fake building.
What?
yes. Luckily, Greg Morris, bless his heart, God rest him, he saved me.
Greg Morris from Mission Impossible?
It was coming loose. The part I was supposed to climb down on, this was when in Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to climb down the side of the building.
And it was.
And he saw that it was loose, and he screamed at me from the floor. I would have fallen about, maybe 20 feet.
Oh, my gosh.
20 feet's a long fall,
yeah,
Lee.
Yeah, it is. This was one of those back lot buildings. It's just the front of it. No real building there.
Facade.
No,
like
no. It was one that was built inside the studio.
Oh, okay. On the Today Show, there's a picture of you hugging J. Fred Muggs, the little monkey. How was that show?
I adored him. He was so. He was like a child. He really was. He was very alert. He would smile at you, and he was just wonderful. The first time I got to travel with him, he was in the seat behind me, but I could see through the crack between the seats, and I looked and watched, and And we took off. I wanted to see his reaction because, you know, it's not usual for a chimpanzee to fly in a plane. And I was watching him, and the sun came in through the window, and he scrunched his eyes, and then he reached up and pulled down the blind on the plane. Is that something?
And it was at that moment that you decided to dedicate your life to monkey research?
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay, here's another one. I heard you had to be sewn into the Catwoman outfit because they wanted it really tight. Is this true or false?
False.
Okay.
It was beautifully made.
Yeah.
It was beautifully made. I didn't have to be sewn.
You know, Lee, if I may just indulge myself here, I was just looking at you in the Catwoman outfit, and that was quite a pose you would strike in that thing.
Oh, yes.
Meow. Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's what got you the job as Catwoman in the movie.
How many Catwomen have there been all together? Not even just the series, but I mean Michelle Pfeiffer and Halle Berry.
Well, let's see. We have Julie and Bertha and me and Anne and...
Wait a minute, Anne?
Yeah, Anne Hathaway.
Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot about her. Yeah.
You know, I mean, to continue on the legacy.
Like six or seven. Six, maybe.
Yeah, there's quite a few.
I
have a question going back to Time Tunnel. For those of you who don't remember what Time Tunnel was, it was a show about two scientists who were traveling through time. They walked down this time tunnel, which you worked in front of it. Your control center, right?
Before Quantum Leap.
Right. It was Quantum Leap before Quantum Leap. And you guys would... Every week would try and dial them back in to bring them back into the present, right?
Right, yes.
Let's just say what that was. You and your team, Lee, were completely incompetent. You had these two beings floating around through time, and you couldn't figure out how to bring them back.
Well, we tried. We kept trying. They go to someplace else.
What was your rank or position in that show, Time Tunnel? Because you had the lab coat on. Sitting
yes,
there.
I was a scientist. Yeah. I was, and
really,
I have to tell you, it was fascinating when we went to conventions after the show was over for us. We would go to conventions, and I had three women come up to me at different times and in different cities, and saying, "I became a scientist because of you," and I was so excited.
Look at that! Look at that!
It was wonderful.
Fighting for women's rights, early scientists. I didn't think they'd let you be a scientist in the 60s.
Being the mid-60s?
Shove that off to the men, and you would just be some lab coat wearing button pusher.
Yes, no.
You were
very serious.
You had a front row seat to the time tunnel. You were one of the ones trying to get those guys back into the present.
Exactly.
Hey, of all the villains that were on Batman, you had Cesar Romero, Frank Gorshin, Burgess Meredith. And then all the other guys who would roll through there. I don't know how
Cliff
many.
Cliff Robertson.
Who did you find the most charming of all of them?
Well, Cesar Romero was a dream come true. I had him. I asked him to come to some of my charities that I work for, and he did. He never said no, and he would. For the kids, because I raise money for Ability First, and he came out, and it was formerly the Crippled Children Society of Southern California, but it's a wonderful duo, and he would laugh for the kids, and they knew who he was. And he had pictures of himself as the Joker, and so they'd say and laugh, and he would do it over and over and over again. And he was wonderful. He was really such a gentle soul and a gentleman. Yes.
Talking to Lee Merriweather, she's going to be at PopCon Milwaukee coming up this weekend, November 4th and 5th at the Crown Plaza Hotel and Convention Center here in town.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have your hours of operation there? Is it like an all day thing, or
they're not going to work you all day, are they, Lee?
They usually do.
Really? So you get there early and you stay late. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yes.
All right. Well, you're
and, my Ability First is my charity, and I give all my proceeds to that. Yes.
All right. We didn't even touch on the fact that you were Miss America 1955. That started the ball rolling for you.
Oh, it certainly did.
you were in a documentary about the Miss America thing, in 2003? Something like that?
The
year doesn't matter, but there was, you've been on shows about Miss America. How has that experience, just talk a little bit about that. I mean, how has it changed and what you guys did?
Oh, well, it was total shock. I never expected to win.
Well, come on. You were Miss California. That's a pretty good win there.
That's like half of America Lee.
Right.
You should have seen the talent that Miss Florida had.
Really?
Oh, yes. I had her picked as the winner.
Well, the judges thought differently, and they picked you in 1955. Mm-hmm. What was your talent that for the competition?
I did a monologue that it was the last speech in a play that I had done in high school, Riders to the Sea by Don Millington Synge.
And, really?
It's a tearjerker, it's supposed to be.
Really? What were some of the other things the other girls did? Did anyone like juggle or ventriloquist or
tap dance or anything like that?
Ventriloquism was in there, okay. And yes, and we have had a Miss America who was a ventriloquist, and she was fabulous. And let's see, I'm trying to remember. That's a long time ago.
After you've been a Miss America, do you get like lifetime tickets to that, or a renewable every year invitation to the pageant? How does?
Well, they do like to, for us to come back and be there in the convention hall, and it's really a fun. I bring my daughters, and we just have a good time. Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly what the format was in 1955 for Miss America, but did they? Was there a question that you were asked when it got down to the final five? Like, tell us about your solution to world peace or how to end hunger in the world or something like that? Some impossible question.
No. My memory of it is so dim, to tell you the truth. But I know that we it was a totally different way of judging then, because we would have lunch and sit at different tables with the judges.
Really?
And for two of the days, so that they got to hear us and talk to us casually and not under stress or anything like that. And it was, they were wonderful judges. I mean, Paul Whiteman and Deems Taylor and Grace Kelly. Grace Kelly, I was thrilled to meet her.
Grace Kelly, I have her ranked as my number one best-looking woman on the planet ever.
Wow.
Absolutely. You should have seen her.
But you're number two, so just so you know, Lee.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I think it'd be, to talk to you at PopCon, you have such a history of just really famous TV shows over the years. You've been on just about all of them.
We didn't even talk about Barnaby Jones. How was Buddy Ebsen to work with?
Oh, a dream come true.
Did he ever just break into Jed Clampett for you every now and then?
No, he didn't. No, he was so sincere. He was just real and a lovely gentleman. And I was so lucky.
Oh, one more. You were on Land of the Giants. You were on Land of the Giants. Did you have to pick up a giant pencil or phone or coffee cup?
No, I had to try and save three little children.
What was the giant prop you had to work next to?
Oh, the strangest one.
Because there's always one in Land of the Giants.
I've never been asked this question, and now I can't remember.
Well, we'll have to watch for the episode.
We'll have to buy the DVD set.
Lee, it's great to talk to you. Best of health and everything in the future. PopCon, November 4th and 5th at the Crown Plaza Hotel this weekend.
I would pack a light coat for this weekend. It's going to be a little chilly here compared to California.
All right, I will.
All right.
I will. Will I see you there?
Oh, man. I hate when you end with those. Maybe, Lee. We'll see, okay?
You'll see plenty of people there.
Yeah.
There will be plenty.
All right?
All right, thanks.
All right. Lee Merriweather,
nice to talk to you.
Thanks for the time this morning.